Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, should you stay or should you go? You should probably stay if you're committed to the University of Georgia, if you're committed to the G, because big things are about to happen going forward. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Georgia Bulldogs could well end up here on National Signing Day with the number one class in the entire nation, Wendy Adams.
Yeah, so we have a Vision Computer poll on our Twitter account, 92.9 The Game. How do you feel if Georgia could end up with that number one football recruiting class? Go Dogs, five-star fever, good, but prove it on the field. Meh, it's just recruiting. Right now, it's close call. 44% say good, but prove it on the field.
And you have to. I mean, there
are
way too many examples, Hugh, of...
Yeah, and to me, Ole Miss is that the biggest example. I remember vividly. Ole Miss got the best recruiting class, had the best recruiting class over the last couple of seasons, and it didn't turn out that great for them. You know, it really did. You know, I mean, what I mean by that, I mean national championship. So yeah, got to get it done on the field.
And Georgia needs this again. Depending on who you believe, 7 to 8 5-star players. Even with what they have coming back, they're going to need an infusion of talent. That is not to say that Georgia is going to be, you know, bad next year. I think they're going to be fine. Matter of fact, I think that they have a chance to become really good. But there may be a growth curve because they're going to have to lean on a lot of these guys. These young freshmen may get significant playing time, because no better way to point that out to you than to talk about something we haven't really been able to mention when we talk about the NFL. The scouting combine invited 326 players to the scouting combine. 10 Georgia Dogs. Now listen to this list of names of Georgia Dogs. This will tell you about the talent level that Georgia is losing this year. Defensive tackle John Atkins, linebacker David Bellamy, linebacker Lorenzo Carter, running back Nick Chubb, running back Sonny Michel, safety Dominic Sanders, linebacker Roquan Smith, defensive tackle Trent Thompson, wide receiver Javon Wims, and offensive guard Isaiah Wynn. That's a lot of talent.
Yeah, it is. But then you got a lot of young cats that are going to have to step up, and they're going to have to get it done. There's going to be some opportunities there. I think Georgia's in good hands. I really do, especially at the running back position when you had the young running backs back there. But there's going to be a lot of positions to be filled. And when you talk about it, you're talking about that defensive side of the ball. But there also is going to be some opportunities for some guys to go out there and become some playmakers.
You know, and I know a lot of fans like to look at mock drafts. And they like to think, you know, hey, these guys know. And the reason mock drafts are okay. They're fun to look at. But you honestly, you have no idea which route the Atlanta Falcons are going to go. I have no idea which route the Falcons are going to go. Nobody does. Not even the guys, even the most learned expert. You know, Mel Kiper has no idea.
I think it's safe to say, though, you could look at it, and they have to address the line, if either offensive line or defensive line. I think that's the one thing that you can glean from this. Now, if the Atlanta Falcons go out and take a receiver in the first round, I think that would have most people scratching their head, or a running back, say, for instance. But I think that it's safe to say that right now, with the mock drafts and the way that they're written up and what we saw with our own eyes on the field, that there has to be an upgrade at the guard spot and probably even the tackle spot.
Right, and of course that also depends upon what you do in free agency. I mean, if you kept on Terry Poe and you went out and got an Anthony Newell or a Justin Pugh, you know, I mean, it depends on what happens in free agency too. So that's all weighed against each other. As for that, one of the mock drafts, and this is why I brought it up, one of the mock drafts did just that, Hugh. They said that Christian Kirk is going to be available. For those of you who don't know and not college football fans, Christian Kirk is a wide receiver, kick returner from Texas A&M. Were he on Alabama or Georgia, you'd know Christian Kirk. He is electric. He's like that Tariq Cohen. I mean, he's electric. And so I'm not saying that they have to go that route, but is it a case where are the Falcons in a position where they could pass on the best player available in order to fill a need? Are they in that spot? Is it need first or best player available?
It all depends on what their draft board looks like, John. Now this is where we get into, you know, we don't know.
Right.
I don't know what their draft board looks like. Everybody's draft board is different. Everybody has a potential mock draft of everybody else's draft board and theirs. So if they feel like their number one graded player is, say, an offensive lineman, Johnny B. Good or whatever, and if Johnny B. Good gets drafted at six picks before the Falcons pick, and then their next best player on their board is they're projected to go in the second round where they're picking at, they'll wait. They'll probably take the best player available at that pick, or they might move down. It all depends on where they feel that they can fill a need at with their draft pick, or whether or not there's a guy there that they feel is worthy of that kind of money. Yep. They might even, if they don't get the guy that they want, they might trade out of the first round. I don't see them doing that, but they might do that. It all depends on how their draft board is set up.
No, your point is well taken, because that's another thing. And set aside the fact that these mock drafts are, you know, could be way off because it's just so impossible to tell, because one team takes a guy or one team trades up in the first round and everything else gets thrown askew. So they're impossible to do. Is the talent evaluation as far as draft rankings are concerned? Because one thing is true about the Atlanta Falcons, and you can't deny this. We know that all of the evaluators said Keanu Neal overrated as a pick. Deion Jones overrated as a pick. The Falcons got slammed. Well, not slammed. Well, maybe in Keanu's case, slammed.
They did.
Yeah,
they
on got, both they, of those guys.
People looked at them and wondered what they were doing. They got slammed for the Vic Beasley pick. And for them, the last 3 years, it's worked out. That's why I'm saying it's hard to gauge what their board is looking like, because one thing they've been true to is drafting guys that other people projected not to go as high as they did. They've done that. They've definitely done that. So you best believe that their draft board is a lot different than everybody else's. So they might have a player rated for what they want to do differently. And I think that's another thing. I think that when you look at drafts and you look at potential landing spots for young players, I think on the national level that most guys do it, they're doing it from the athleticism of the player and not so much the individual and how they fit into the scheme of the team that's picking at that position. They'll probably look at it and say, okay, he's an athlete, he plays D-tackle, boom. He's the number one rated pick player at this position or fifth rate or whatever, and we're putting him at that spot. And not looking at the way that Coach Quinn has really thought outside the box in the way that he's picked his defensive players. Keanu Neal, a lot of people felt like, I remember that draft when they were there and they were like, why you pick that guy? He was slated to be a later round draft pick. You took him in the first round. And Thomas Dimitroff comes out and tell you, this is a guy that fits what we want to do. And when he comes in, he does exactly what Coach Quinn wants him to do. He's a scud missile. He's going out there, he's blowing people up, he's making plays. Same thing with Deion Jones. He's a little small to play inside linebacker. Done a good job of that. Went to the Pro Bowl this year. So you have to look at their defense. If they're going to draft defense and try to find a guy that is similar to what they have or fits the mold of what you hear Coach Quinn saying that he wants from that position, if that's the position they're going to take. Well, and that's how you figure it out.
Yeah, I find it interesting, and this is the little tell. Okay, here's the tell. And the tell is Tack McKinley, Keanu Neal, Deion Jones all had one trait in common. You know, some talent evaluators might like length, they might like speed, they might like explosion, whatever, but they all have one tell, the thing in common. And I heard it with all three when they drafted them. This dude, and they see it on tape, they see it in workouts, they see it in the combine, plays through the tape. Motor, 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 motor. That is like number one for them. If you've got a motor that doesn't quit, that is where they are highly, keenly interested in you.
Well, there you have. And now you look at the guys that are potentially up on the board that fits that mold, and you'll get a better sense of what they could potentially draft, seeing it as what they need on their team and how they want to build their team. High motor guys, high character guys, and take it from there.
I know it'd never happen because it just won't, and that's fine because you can't. But wouldn't it be cool just once to be in a war room during a draft? Just once to spend that Thursday night in your war room watching how it all works. Just sitting in the back, kind of taking it in, drinking a Diet Coke, and watching these guys talking. You know, you can't say anything outside the room. You can't report on it. You just say, I was in the room. You know, but it would be pretty darn cool. Be fascinating to watch. See what happens with all the machinations, you know. I think we had seen it, you know, in movies and stuff, but yeah, it would be incredible. Falcons get ready for, of course, the NFL Combine coming up at the end of the month. By the 27th, we're 20 days away, which makes this Josh McDaniels story So incredibly difficult for the Indianapolis Colts. You're 20 days away from the NFL Combine, and you got to bring in a coach? Wow, good luck to you.
Yeah, and this coach has to he doesn't have to get a defensive coordinator, that's for sure. But then to formulate a staff, he's kind of left them, you know, with their pants down, if you will. They're in a bad spot, but it's kind of on Jim Irsay a little bit when you say, you know, you got a guy who you're waiting for, and he didn't sign the contract. You got to get it signed. Got to get that contract signed.
Well, this is a really interesting development here on the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you didn't hear late last night, the Indianapolis Colts had tweeted out that they had a deal done with Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, to become their new head coach. They agreed to the deal three weeks ago. They've been in talks with him even during Super Bowl week. He's been making calls to not only interview, but to bring in and sign a few assistant coaches. Yes, sign a few assistant coaches. And he gets down to the 11th hour last night, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Colts tweet out late yesterday, "Welcome, Josh McDaniels. You're our new head coach." Everybody runs with it. They say the news conference is going to be today. We're flying him in, and everybody's getting prepared. And Josh McDaniels picks up the phone late last night and says, "I ain't coming."
Jim, yo, Jim, what's going on, man? This Josh. Listen here, man. You know, my wife, she tripping. My wife don't want to go. So, you know, what you mean? You assigned two people? My bad. Well, tell them I said I'm sorry. I'm not going to call them because I don't want to hear what they got to say. But for real, though, man, my wife says she don't want to go in. And as a matter of fact, she told me I need to get off the phone right now. So,
bye.
I'll talk to you later.
What if he sent a mass text to Irsay and the coaches that he was bringing along? But hey, guys, change of heart.
Tweet it.
I'm gonna stay.
You know what? That's the easiest way to do it, because then you ain't got to hear that backlash. Because the worst thing that you know what's gonna happen is like when you break up with somebody, you do something that they don't want you to do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conversation that's gonna be had that you really don't want to have. So you're like, the best thing to do is send a tweet. Be like, listen, hey Jim, I'm not feeling it, man. You probably need to find you somebody else. Don't call me on this number no more. I'm about to cut this phone off. Hey, don't text me at this number no more. I'm about to block your number. Don't call me.
Greg Doyle is the lead columnist for the Indy Star at IndyStar.com. His whole article is worth reading this morning if you go to IndyStar.com. And Greg is a long time. He was with CBS for years and years and years. He's now the big gun at IndyStar.com. He writes, this is the beginning of his article, "Be embarrassed, Indianapolis Colts, but also be relieved. Josh McDaniels is a punk and a loser, but he's not your punk. He's not your loser. He's not your head coach, thank God. Imagine knowing what we know right now, infecting this franchise with that fraud. And make no mistake, he's the biggest fraud in the NFL." Wow. Well, and it does bring up all of what's going on here. Was it as simple as Josh McDaniels' wife suddenly deciding she doesn't want to move to the heart of America? Was it also simple as, Bob Kraft saying, "I really want to get back"? Remember, the Colts were the team that sold out the Patriots in Deflategate. "I want to get back at Jim Irsay, and I'm going to do it this way by overpaying Josh McDaniels to stay." Or is Bill Belichick on the outs?
I'll tell you what, I just got this. It just came across my Twitter feed. It says that Josh McDaniels' mom said he couldn't go. She changed her mind. She said he couldn't go. Bo looked at me like, "For real?" No, not for real, Bo. I just made that up as I went.
Please stop.
But listen, this is one of those things, Daryl. You know when you have to explain yourself when you really don't want to after you've already decided?
Okay, he should probably do that.
But that's what I'm saying. What do you say?
You're entitled to change your mind.
It ain't that easy all the time, though, D.
Yes, it is. He did not sign that contract.
What'd you say? How you gonna do? Okay, D, you supposed to come over now. You gotta call me, tell me you're coming. Yo, D, you on your way?
That's not the same.
It is the same thing.
No, it is not the same.
Why not?
And it's been times that you've called me to go places, and I'm like, "Hey, Hugh, I can't make it."
But that's different because we work the same hours, and that's understandable. That's understandable. But when you talk about,
bro, that's something life altering, life changing. If your wife, you guys talk. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna cut you because you're the host.
No. You know. Go ahead.
But what make
no,
your finish your point.
No, if your wife and you guys talk about this all the time, happy wife, happy life. If your wife said X, Y, and Z, why not honor that?
You do, but
you gotta live with her.
But you make that call before you have that conversation before you agree to that. Like, that's my thing. Like, before I make any decisions, I'm like, babe, I got this job opportunity. It's in Indianapolis. How you feel about that? And you know what most wives do? Because this is what my wife did. Looking online, No, like, it all depends on how old your kids are, looking for neighborhoods to live in or making phone calls to figure out what's the lay of the land. And then probably knowing what the time frame is and knowing that you're probably going to take this job and I'm still in one, go ahead a little bit. Make arrangements to have the kids taken care of. Go ahead and start scouting areas and talking to realtors. That's what a wife does. That's her job, because she's taking care of the home. She's going to be the one that's going to make this transition as easy as possible for you.
But then we hear early reports of him mulling this decision. We heard early reports of him mulling this decision.
Yes, we did. But you're right. But at the same time, D, you have to ask yourself a question right before you make that call to Jim Irsay if you're Josh McDaniels. You have to say, if I make this phone call, would anybody offer me a head coaching job again?
Mm. He'll get another job.
Maybe he already is in the place that's going to offer him another head coaching job.
And for him to, you best believe, you don't make those life-altering decisions, like you said, without having a plan B, a solid plan B.
Right.
A solid one. Super solid.
At least he didn't put sticky notes up on the Indianapolis Colts door. There's that.
He didn't.
Leave a note.
How do you really feel, Chuck?
About Bobby Petrino?
Oh, no. You said his name.
No Next secret up, what his name is.
Yeah, I know. Next up, Mike Conney. Why Mike Conney? Because Atlanta United's starting. And Mike is the new play-by-play voice of the Five Stripes. We're going to talk with him about that.
John and Hugh.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot going on over the next few days. Yeah, you think it's going to be slow in February. It's not. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Our Vision Computer poll of the day. How do you feel that UGA could end up with the number one football recruiting class? That's up at our Twitter and our Facebook, and you can say, go Dogs, five-star fever. It's good that they could, but prove it on the field or meh, it's recruiting. So that's our poll question today. Now, there's a lot going on, our Vision Computer poll question today. As mentioned, a lot going on. Atlanta United, the Five Stripes, are starting their season, their preseason, against a team that will be making its debut in next season, not this season, in MLS, and that's Nashville SC as a new team into the league. Well, there's a lot new going on in the second season of the Five Stripes, including the man to my right, Mike Conney, who joins us in studio.
Guys, I'm confused. I thought we were doing In Case We Missed It right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's
no,
been
no.
a while since we've done that. It's been a while.
Can we do In Case We Missed It?
No.
Because on this show, it's called Out of Bounds.
Oh, Out of Bounds. Yeah. Well, yes. I thought we were here to do Out of Bounds.
No more. But it's been a while since you've been on our show. Well, welcome back.
No, it's good to see you guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I had to drive like Cal Naughton to get here, by the way. My house at 7:15. Got off the elevator at 9:19.
Oh my Lord,
it
have mercy!
Is bad out there, bad. Yeah, if you're coming down 85,
yeah, I'm going up 85 in a little while.
You should be good.
Yeah, I should be good going up 85. So, Mike, first of all, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you
on the new job.
Thank
but
you.
At the same time, knowing you're already like heavy workload, you know, doing the Hawks and everything, and the season, you know, getting in full swing. How are you going to, you know, manage your time and get prepared for doing Atlanta United now? How is that going to work for Mike Conte?
Well, you know, fortunately, the Hawks are at a point in the season right now where it's kind of easy to prepare for each game because they're playing every other night. You just kind of copy the stats over from the night before, and that kind of works itself out. Preparing for their opponent might be a little more difficult. With Atlanta United, you know, this is something I've had to work on a lot over the weekend and into this week, and really going to be doing a lot tonight, tomorrow, Friday when we get up to Nashville, because I just found out on Friday I was going to be doing this. And I've been working on the play-by-play announcers. We have something we call boards, okay? Mm-hmm. I use a manila folder that I fold out, and I paste things to it, and the manila folder's stocky enough where I can hold on to it and beat it a little bit, and it'll be just fine. So this week, what I've been working on is putting my Atlanta United notes together on my board. Mm-hmm. I've been working a little bit on Nashville, but they're a mystery team because they're a USL team, which would basically be the equivalent of like a AAA team
to
the Major League or an FCS team to an FBS, you know, like Kennesaw State compared to Alabama.
Right.
So I haven't worked so much on Nashville, but I've worked a lot on Atlanta United over the last 5 days, trying to get statistics down, notes down. I know a lot of the players already because I followed them pretty closely last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Saturday will be a challenge because Nashville plays in a baseball stadium. Our vantage point, I think, is behind one of the goals because home plate is basically one of the corners of the field and we're behind home plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just hoping I can see everything on Saturday and I can use all these good notes. But Jason Longshore is going to be a big help. And I'm really glad that I'm working with him. He's really very much up on not only Atlanta United but Nashville. He knows a lot of these guys. A lot of them have Atlanta connections. Their keeper's from Alpharetta, or one of their keepers is from Alpharetta. There's some Silverbacks connections with that side. So Jason will help. And this is kind of a dress rehearsal for us because it all gets going for real on March 3rd down in Houston.
But what about, like, with soccer? The speed and the timing that you have to have, because you do a great job doing the Hawks games on radio. I might put that out there.
Thank
but
you.
With soccer, the game's a little bit faster, and you have to paint a different picture.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare for that aspect of soccer?
Well, I've called soccer before. I think, you know, that's something that I've been trying to tell people because, you know, this isn't just me being a football, basketball guy parachuting in to do a sport I don't know. I've called soccer before. You know, the key to soccer is – it's a lot like calling a hockey game. It's being descriptive enough to know where the passes are going at which points on the field and getting your cadence just right so when there's a legitimate scoring opportunity or a shot on goal or shot on frame, I know there's some debate among soccer people if it should be shot on goal or shot on frame, but getting your voice and your tempo right to let the listener know that a scoring opportunity is developing. The one thing I'm really excited about with Atlanta United is they play really fast and they score a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a very up-tempo style. It's almost going to be like calling a hockey game, which is kind of, I think, the fastest sport on earth to call.
If you can call
a hockey game, you can call anything.
Yeah, that thing happens fast.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it won't be quite that fast. But, Hugh, I think it's just all about if I can give the listener a good idea that a scoring opportunity is developing or has occurred – and I can correctly identify the player with the ball and correctly identify the spot of the field at which the ball is, I think I've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm hoping to do. Saturday's going to be rough because we're kind of running into this a little bit. I'll freely admit that. But I know Jason and I are really trying to get into top form by March 3rd, and this is going to help us do that.
Mike Conney, of course, old friend of the show and one of our favorite co-hosts and and employees is now the new play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Saturday, our coverage begins at 3 o'clock pregame from Nashville. And again, that game is sold out. As Mike mentioned, they play in a 10,000-seat baseball stadium. Considering that, I guess this is their home stadium. Is that what we're saying? Because otherwise, why wouldn't you play it at a bigger venue, considering the fact you're probably going to sell 20,000, 25,000 seats?
Well, I mean, right now, they're trying to build a stadium for when they go into MLS.
Okay.
MLS has not actually announced when Nashville is going to join the league. They've just announced that they are expanding into the league.
All right.
So they could be in USL for like 2, 3, 4 years.
I didn't realize that.
It could take them a while.
I understood it was going to be sooner than that.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it could be.
It could be,
I mean,
right.
It depends a lot on their stadium. And where the Titans play is just too big.
Right.
I would be curious to see if they would attempt to play maybe down the road at Nissan Stadium if it really becomes a thing, like it does for Atlanta United, but they're trying to get a stadium deal right now. So basically, they're borrowing the Nashville Sounds stadium.
Right. I mean, you can play at Vanderbilt. I mean, it's 38,000, right?
That's a good question, too. Yeah, I don't. And, you know, who knows?
I know. I mean, we're going to get off.
Here's the thing, John. Like, there's a lot of fan interest for this match because it's Atlanta.
Right.
There are going to be a lot of Atlanta United fans coming up.
Right.
If they're playing the Charleston Battery, or the you know, the Harrisburg City Islanders or New York Red Bull 2 or something like that, there might not be that much of an interest.
Right.
And then a 10,000-seat ballpark makes sense for them.
Mike Honey, new play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. So let's just talk broadly about United. You mentioned March 3rd, the opener. March 11th, the home opener. They're expecting potentially another record, all-time record Major League Soccer crowd of 73,000-plus at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for their home opener against DC United. The hopes of this team with the arrival of an 18-year-old Argentinian star in Ezequiel Barco, with the addition of a bona fide MLS All-Star midfielder in Darlington Nagbe, added to Joseph Martinez and Miguel Almiron and Gressel and, I mean, Garza and all these guys that we already know, this team is really good. I think the expectations of Five Stripe fans are they play well enough, they're going to be in the hunt for the MLS Cup.
As long as they stay healthy, and that was a little bit of a problem last year, and I know Tita Vijalba had something in training camp. It doesn't sound like it's that serious, but you want them to stay healthy, no doubt about that. If they do stay healthy, the one thing I really like about this year compared to last, not only with the additions of Barco and Nagby and everyone else that they've brought in, their schedule was really, really messed up last year because of the stadium construction delays. So they had to compress a lot of matches right at the end of the season. And you'll remember in that run-up to the postseason game against Columbus, I mean, it felt like they were playing twice a week for 4 or 5 weeks, right? Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about that so much this year. There are a couple midweek games, but for the most part, they're going to be playing once a week on a weekend. So I think that'll help. Their home matches will be spread out a lot better, so they're not going to have these ridiculously long road trips like they had last year. I think that'll help. You're going to have Guzan for a full season. I mean, obviously, that's going to help, right? I mean, he's probably the best possible keeper you could have in MLS, right? So, I mean, that's going to be a huge plus. So they're really constructed to be very, very good this year. Talking to Jason, I believe the feeling around the league is it's going to be Atlanta and Toronto in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Toronto is the defending MLS Cup champion. Michael Bradley.
Jose Altidore.
Giovinco is a really good Italian player. It's going to be between Atlanta and Toronto. The exciting thing is decision day, the final day of the regular season, Atlanta plays at TFC.
Oh, wow.
And so that could be really a lot of fun on the final day of the regular season. There
cold.
Could be seatings on the line. It could be cold. I mean, it's late October. It might not be that bad. But Atlanta United, Toronto FC are going to be the two teams to really watch in the Eastern Conference. And as long as Atlanta United stays healthy, it's going to be a good year.
Mike Honey, we look forward to it.
I do, too.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot
Come
of
on noise. Out and join us. I mean, we're going to have a big crowd with us up there in Nashville. I know that. But John's right. Like, when we get to the home opener on March the 11th, I know there are going to be 4 matches this year where they're going to open up the whole stadium mm-hmm. and go for 73,000.
Right.
And, you know, season tickets are not easy to come by. Individual match tickets are not easy to come by. It's really become a big thing. But, boy, it would be a real statement if Atlanta United could continue now in year 2 to draw those 70,000 capacity matches like they had last year.
Given the excitement level, I see no reason why they wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it fills gaps, to quote a line from a Rocky movie. It fills gaps. You know, we're in a little gap in the sports schedule right now before the Braves get going. So Atlanta United is going to help fill that gap.
Well, we're looking forward to listening on Saturday afternoon. Mike Honey, new voice of the Five Stripes. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
This hour brought to you by
Mike Hunter, your thoughts.
Renter's Warehouse. As we continue with John and Hugh, what we missed with the Wendy Zone next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we've seen a couple of athletes do this after their teams have won championships in pro sports and in college sports, but it's been a good week for Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Although he didn't play in the Super Bowl, his teammates ended up beating the Patriots, getting a ring. So Carson Wentz gets a ring. Well, he took to his Instagram and had himself down on one knee in front of his girlfriend.
I love you so
and this
much.
This was the quote in his Instagram post. She said yes, and now Maddie and I both got us a ring. Can't wait to marry my best friend. God is doing some amazing things, and I can't wait to thank him enough. So congratulations to Carson Wentz, who proposed to his girlfriend after his team won a championship.
That was kind of corny, but okay.
Your thoughts, Hugh, because every time this happens, you say, what happens if they didn't win a championship?
Well, yeah, would you still propose to her? And I think that I don't know. That was kind of corny, though.
That's
still
easy.
I do agree
Why
with
is
the
that
corniness.
Corny?
Because it is. Because if you wouldn't have won a Super Bowl, would you have proposed to her? I still believe it. I don't care if it is Carson Wentz for the Philadelphia Eagles.
He would have because he didn't propose to her at the Super Bowl. He would have just had to change his little tagline instead of say we both have rings. You know, she God, got what I don't have or something like that.
I mean, I get it, but
she
you know
what?
She
got what Tom Brady has.
Yeah.
They would have lost.
But no, I think it was kind of corny. Keep that to yourself.
Well, the post Super Bowl celebrations in Philly, we could say, turned wild and riotous, to say the least. But insanity from overjoyed Eagles fans, pretty much expected. So that's why, while sharing the details of the Eagles Super Bowl parade set for Thursday, which I know Hugh is going to, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kennedy had a small request for fans who are considering going.
the small number of knuckleheads should stay home. Every city that's gone through this has had this celebration. There's always some element of people who do this. There were literally tens of thousands of people on the street, and you know, the knucklehead contingent was extremely small.
Presumably, he's referring to
the poop eater.
The knuckle. Well, that guy.
Yeah.
And
right.
The people who started fires, perhaps the ones who turned over a car, some who found their way climbing up a light pole. That
you
were,
know, there was COVID. one dude out there. He's like turning over a car, and he's so proud of himself. You know, I'm seeing the meme, and he turns to the camera, and he waves and smiles and thumbs up. He's so proud of. And all I can think is, dude, you're about to get popped.
You had the police, idiot. But you had the police commissioner speaking after the mayor, and they are looking for these people.
Oh, so yeah.
They say all these social media videos that are on right now. Oh, yeah, they're using Jeff. That. To find the suspects, they're literally going to take screen grabs and post them and say, where is this person? Because they will be charged with the
crime. I don't understand why people don't realize that, you know, social media can get you put in jail. Like, you know, the cats that like to post pictures of, like, weed and guns and drugs. It's like, okay.
The gang of money.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, your name or your set name or whatever, that's not that bright. You're not that bright.
Or turning over cars while someone's filming you.
Or eating
down
poopy. Or even poopy.
Well, I don't
can't
think
lock
that,
them up for that.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. That's you not a crime.
You can lock people up for stupidity.
That's a crime against humanity.
You can lock people up for
a
stupidity.
A crime against yourself.
It's a crime against if you're with anybody, too.
Yeah, because she ain't kissing you in the mouth no more. You ain't
bet
kissing.
She
no,
did.
No, I bet you ain't kissing nobody in the mouth.
Well, TMZ obtained the 911 call Rob Gronkowski personally made to police when he realized his Boston area home was burglarized while he was playing in the Super Bowl. So during the call that placed Monday evening when Gronk came back from Minnesota, this is what it said.
911 line decoded, where is your emergency?
Hello, this is an emergency. This is just this is Rob Gronkowski calling, and while I was gone, my whole house got robbed while on the Super Bowl trip, and I just got back.
So according to the police report, the crook or crooks broke into the house through a window, raided several rooms. Fortunately, Rob's bedroom door was locked, and the burglars didn't get inside that. However, Rob has two roommates, and both of their rooms were raided.
Hold up.
And they said they stole a couple of safes and also guns.
Hold up.
Yeah.
You a grown-ass man with roommates?
I knew you were going to go there.
Well, I was kind of curious about that, too.
What? Are they women?
Is he subletting?
Two roommates. It doesn't say.
Are they women?
It doesn't say what gender.
If it ain't two, if I'm not living with two women, can't two men live with me? Unless they're not even my grown sons. If I had two sons, no, I'm a grown ass man playing in the NFL, making millions of dollars.
Your men servants or handlers?
I ain't got no man servant. It's gonna be a woman servant. If anybody serving, it's gonna be a fine young tender that walks around the house in a French maid outfit all the time. That's just my fantasy.
Good luck, dude.
And if I did that,
right,
then that would be it. But I ain't got it like that. Ain't no grown men living in my house with me talking about, and hell, where the hell were they at when I got robbed? Did you go to the Super Bowl with me? If you went to the Super Bowl with me, you're dead wrong. You need to go, you need to get a job and get out of my house.
But
that's
maybe
weird.
They're helping. Maybe he's saving money by having roommates.
Man, if it's not, listen.
He's planning for the future in retirement. He's planning
for Gronk?
Yeah, he's planning for retirement.
Are you serious?
So he's saving money.
Listen, if it's my brother and you stay with me, you're on a time limit. You're like milk. Your expiration date is about to expire. You only got a certain amount of time. You're not my roommate. You are a temporary resident. Mm-hmm. To a grown man that's playing in the NFL living with two other men, get out of town.
Hold on.
Wait a second. Just so we're transparent. Gronk signed a six-year, $54 million contract. I don't think $1,500 a month makes a whole lot of difference.
But hold on a second. Stop comparing.
He's saving his money.
Hugh, you had a family when you were in the league.
Not all the time.
You had a wife at one point in time, and you had children already, right?
Yeah, but,
okay, but hold on.
When I first got in the league, they didn't live with me.
Yeah. Okay, you know what, though? Gronk lives a different lifestyle. Gronk is a party. He's still like a frat boy. That's what he wants.
Oh, so his house is the dorm?
I have a feeling his house is the party house. And be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't come to find out that these people knew the house a little bit based off partying there before.
No, or the cats that he got lived with and robbed him. For you to go on the house,
they'd
rob
too.
They'd raid their own
rooms. Yeah, why not?
Why would they raid their own rooms?
Why not?
Because
that way, nobody's gonna accuse you of stealing. You are not the suspect. See, that's because y'all lived in them white lily houses up in the suburbs.
That's actually
in
not
the
true.
Streets. In the streets, that's what they do in the streets. I'm
like
telling
the
you.
Flower.
First off, you don't know where I lived or where I came from. Because you know what? I could have came from a mobile home park where they robbed you every day. You don't know that, so don't you assume where I come from.
I can assume that, Bo. You talk way too sophisticated to be coming from a mobile home.
That's the first time everyone has ever said, hey, you talk sophisticated, Bo.
Hey, how about Valentine's Day is a week from today? And hey, how about we're going to make your Valentine's Day right now with a $50 gift card to proflowers.com. Okay, $50 gift card. To the first caller at 404-741-0929 who can answer our question, you can head over to proflowers.com, click on the mic in the top right corner, and enter our code, John and Hugh, and you're going to get the daily deal of the day at proflowers.com. Right now, $50 gift card to the first caller who can tell us who is the new radio play-by-play voice of Atlanta United on 92.9 The Game. As we continue on this National Signing Day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.